And I had something to help us kind of figure out what we're going to talk about. Kevin, if you'll stick one of them up there. Sometimes you can see things, but not really see things, right? So how many of you see a rabbit? Raise your hand. Don't worry. Don't be afraid to raise your hand. You see a rabbit? Okay. Who sees a duck? Okay. Yeah, you can see both. Give me another one, Kevin. He'll get it up there in a minute. See the rabbit? Okay, now who sees a woman? Okay, now who sees a guy playing a saxophone? Okay. Okay, both of these are there already, right? Okay, give us another one. Okay, who sees a guy? Who sees a guy with glasses maybe? Okay, who sees the word liar? Turn your head to the right. See the word liar. Okay? All right, one more, Kevin. Okay, two faces or a vase thing. Okay? Okay, so all of the... That's all of them. Okay, so all of these things were there, right? They were there the whole time. You might not have seen them, but they were there. And God is kind of the same way. We may not see Him, but He's there. So tonight we're going to talk about two guys that were with Jesus when everything changed, but they didn't realize that He was there. Okay? So, if you'll turn in your Bibles, if you have them, we're going to go to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to start in verse 13. I'll give you a second to get there. Luke 24, starting in verse 13. Okay, I'm reading this out of the NIV, so if you don't have an NIV, it's probably going to be just a tad different. Starting in verse 13, it says, "Now that same day, two of them," and it's talking about two believers in Jesus, two disciples of Jesus, and maybe not necessarily two actual disciples, but some people think that one of them was. But, you know, some people just think that. We don't know for sure. Two of them was going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking about everything that happened. Okay, and at first glance, you might look at that and think they were just out there, you know, talking about everyday stuff, right? You know, hey, man, how's it going? Did you hear about the Hogs? They beat Auburn. You know, how's the weather? You know, the economy, whatever. You know, that kind of stuff. But actually, what they were talking about was more intense than that. See, for hundreds and hundreds of years, they had heard from their parents, from their grandparents, from their great-grandparents, that God was going to send a Messiah. And they had heard this and heard this and heard this. And this guy shows up, named Jesus of Nazareth, and he's doing stuff that nobody else is doing. He's doing stuff that just isn't normal for, you know, the religious people of that time. And they think, you know, maybe this is the guy. Maybe this is the Messiah that God was talking about. So they start building it up, you know, and they see Him doing these things, and they're like, this guy's got to be the one. So they see all this happen, and then they see Him get crucified 3 days prior to this. So they're actually talking about all these things that have went on. Okay? And if you go to, let's see here, let me see where I'm at. Verse 15. "As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them." And then verse 16 says, "But they were kept from recognizing Him." Why do you suppose they were kept from recognizing Him? I don't know. I mean, I don't have the answer, you know. Maybe God was thinking, you know, you're not ready yet to see Him. I want to show you something first. And then, or maybe God was thinking, you know, I'm going to hide Him for a minute. And then, whoo, there He is. You know, yeah, it's awesome. There He is. You know, we don't know. I don't know. Somebody may know, but I don't, okay? But has that ever happened to you where something was there? You know, like maybe the answer to something was there. It was so close, but you just didn't see it. Okay, I have a little story. Everybody knows that I had a van, right? Just a little while ago. Yes, the teenagers lovingly named it the Man Van because I drove it. And this van, well, when I got rid of it a month and a half ago or so, it had, I mean, it was like 200 miles before 200 grand, okay? So it was pushing some miles. Stuff was going wrong with it. And I brought me a little tool. This is an important tool when I had the van, okay? If any of you know what this is, it's a belt tensioner deal. I don't know what it's called technically, but you know what it's called? Okay. I use this for the belt, okay? Here's the deal. I was working on this van one day, and I was under, you know, doing all this stuff, and I noticed the fender, inside the fender, was messed up. So I took it off. You know, I figured, you know, it's broke. Why have it in there flapping around? So I take the inside fender well out. Well, little did I know that this blocks water. See, when you hit a big puddle of water, the water hits the inner fender well right down to the ground safely. Instead, now, when I hit the water, it goes onto the motor, which hits the belts, and inside there, there's this little pulley, and it's smooth, and the belts runs along, you know, does this all over it. And when the water hits that slick belt, it throws it through the belt, throws the belt completely off. So the first time I tried, had screwdrivers and ink pens and stuff, and I was trying to get that thing on. I mean, I'll tell you, it was forever, and I couldn't get it on, so I had to call this guy to come and put it back on for me. And he had this thing like this, and he goes. There it was on. You know, I paid him like $95 to do that. So I thought, well, if he could do that, then I can. So the next time it fell off, I thought it might have been over. But no, it happened again. So I went to the store, bought this little fancy tool. To come back, you know, man, went around. There it was, just like that, man. I was a natural. Apparently. But anyway, so I got that sucker whipped back on there, and it had been a long time since it happened last. And actually, right before I sold the van, it happened, so I got sick of it. But anyway, I work for the bread company, so sometimes I'm running these little hotshot loads, running around, and I'm going from oil trough, and I have to go to Searcy, but I have to stop at Pleasant Plains, there's a little grocery store, take some bread there. Pouring down rain, I'm talking pouring down rain, terrible. So I'm on this main highway, you know, that runs all the way to Pleasant Plains. I'm going along, and it's just, you know, the rain in that right lane is just terrible. It just fills up, and it goes everywhere. So anyway, long story short, it throws the belt. Pouring down rain, you know, and I pull over on the side of the road. But I have my trusty belt thing here. So I get out, you know, with confidence. I get out of there. I open it up. You know, I feed the belt around through there, get it to the point where I need the deal. And it's got these little wrenches on the end. So you put this wrench, I'm sorry I'm shaking, but you put this little wrench on the end and you put it down in there and it relieves the tension, put the belt on, let it loose. It's done. So I do like I've always done. I put it in there, do this, you know. It's like a fraction of an inch. It just won't go. You know, and I get a screwdriver and I'm trying to force it on. Even though I've got this, before I never needed anything, you know, and I'm doing this number and I'm trying and the motor's hot because I've been driving all day, you know, and I'm burning my arms and scratching them, standing in mud. It's raining, okay? You don't have to go on. So I just do this, and I do this, and I do this, and it's 2 hours, okay? And the guy's waiting on me. 2 hours, I'm working on this van, nothing is working. And I'm thinking, I've done this 100 times, not really, but I've done it enough that it works usually. So I go back and I try all the different pieces and nothing works and I go back to the one I always use. And if you notice, these little ends, if you can get them off, say if you put this thing down in here and you put it on here like this, you know, you got a little room. But if you happen to turn it a quarter of a turn, you have so much more. Yeah. So you know, I'm doing it right on. The whole time, it was right there. The whole time, just like Jesus was right here. The whole time, what I needed was there. But I didn't see it. Well, I'm going to have to get a drink. Sorry. Okay, verse 17. Jesus says, "What are you discussing as you walk together?" They stood still with their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Cleopas, you know, Jesus comes up, you know, "What are y'all talking about?" And Cleopas is like, "Dude, where have you been? Have you not heard? Do you not watch the news? You know, what's going on? You know?" And what do you think? If you're Jesus, you know, what is Jesus thinking? I mean, if I was Jesus, you know, and I walk up to these dudes, you know, I just took it all, you know. I just took everything, died, come back, and they don't know who I am. You know, what am I thinking? If I was Jesus, you know, I'd be thinking, you know, I'd be there, I'd be like, "Guys, it's me! I'm back! You know? God had this plan, my Father had this plan, and it was hard. I mean, it was hard, but I did it. I didn't give up." Right? You know, he's just astonished, basically. You know? "I told you that I was going to die. I told you that God was going to raise me up. And it was tough, but I didn't give up. I stayed the course for you. I was tempted by Satan, but I didn't give in because I wanted to be obedient to my Father. When I was in the garden, I was hesitant. Why? Because I could see what was going to happen. I could see the pain to come. But I stayed the course. And then they beat me, and they beat me, and they beat me. And I stayed the course. Why? For you. For you. Because I knew what was coming for you. Then they whipped me, and they whipped me, and it hurt. And they whipped me some more. But I did it for you, because I knew the stripes on my back would heal you someday. I knew what was going to come. And then they drove the spikes into my hands and my feet, and it hurt. And I cried out. But I stayed the course. I didn't give up. Then they raised me up on a cross, and I could barely breathe. But I didn't give up. And a voice in my ear saying, 'Just strike them down,' as Satan would whisper. And I knew at any second I could say, 'Come down here and wipe them all out.' And it would be done just like that. But I didn't. I stayed the course. Then when the moment was right, I breathed my last breath and said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And I died. But it didn't end there. It didn't stop right there. While you were all waiting, wondering, watching, and praying, and waiting, and wondering, and watching, and praying, I was kicking some devil's butt. He doesn't hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave anymore. No, I, in my pocket, had the keys. You know what that means? You don't see me now, but you'll know what that means when you see. That you can talk to God. You can pray and God will work on your behalf. You don't see it, but soon you'll see. But how were they? They, it says, they stood still, their faces downcast. Like this. Sorry. They are devastated by what's going on around them. The circumstance that they have seen, they're devastated. But the answer, the truth, the way, the truth to life is right there with them. But they don't see Him. They didn't see Him. So, 19, verse 19, "What things," he asks. And they say, you know, "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people." Powerful in word and deed. You see that? Powerful in word and deed. powerful in word. When he spoke, it felt like he knew things about us that no one could know. When he spoke, things changed. Powerful in word and deed. Powerful in deed. When this guy showed up, things changed. Blind people could see. Deaf people could hear. The mute could talk. Powerful in word and deed. Verse 20. The chief priests and our rulers, this is where it turns, right? They're all excited. And then verse 20. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him, verse 21. But we had hoped. Can you sense the devastation right there? But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. But we had hoped, they said. But we had hoped. You know, this ain't working out the way we thought it was going to. You know? You ever get in that situation where something just doesn't work out the way you thought it was going to? This isn't in the master plan, right? This isn't what we had hoped for. Man, that's terrible, isn't it? Verse 22. In addition, some of our women amazed us.
That's a funny
statement. Some of our women amazed us. No, it's not funny in that sense. It's funny at, you know, they said, you know, these women are smarter than us. Apparently they were because they amazed them, right? They went to the tomb early this morning. I thought that was interesting. They went early. Anyway. Sorry. But they didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Verse 24. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But then the next verse, or the next part of that verse says, but they didn't see. He was risen, but they didn't see. He was with them, but they didn't see. Sometimes God's like that. He's with us, but we don't see Him. When I was growing up, my family, I mean, for a long time I was ashamed to say, my family was poor, and I was abused a lot, physically abused. But you know, as I went through life, you know, my folks divorced when I was in high school. And the weird thing, this is a weird thing now that I think about it, I chose to live with my abusive stepfather. Isn't that weird? It is. But through my whole life, we got by, we struggled. You know, my stepdad, you know, I don't know, you know, how much money he made per hour, but I mean, he was the only one working. You know, it was him, my mom, and three kids. You know, and he was making like $7.50 an hour, $8 an hour. I mean, working from daylight till dark. You know. And, I mean, I don't even know some of the stories. I mean, I've just been told stories. You know, I can remember times that I would get whippings or beatings or whatever you want to call them. You know, I didn't know the difference. But sometimes it was whatever was closest. Sometimes it was a switch, you know, or sometimes it was a hand. Sometimes it was a belt. On occasions that I do not remember, for some reason, it was a broom handle. See, I do not remember these things. Now, I don't talk about it a lot. You know, I'll make a mention. You know, I had a rough life or I had a rough childhood. But I don't talk about it. But when I started studying for this, I started trying to see. You know, sometimes you can look back and see God easier than you can see Him when He's right here. You look back and there He was. But here's an instance that I thought back in my life. And this was the moment in my life that my life changed. In this moment, it took a different direction. Have you heard of the movie A Knight's Tale? You know the movie, you got the beggar boy and he's so bad, wants to, you know, be more. And he always uses this phrase, you know, you could change your stars. You know, to say that you can change, you know, just because I'm a beggar, I can change this and I can be royalty just like you are, you know. I think it was wasn't the girl that he wanted to be like, and she was royalty. When I seen that movie, I identified with the boy, thinking, yeah, you know, that's where I'm at. I can change my stars. I think that this was a movie, and this movie inspired me. I'm sure you've had times when movies have inspired you, right? Okay. So I get thinking about that, and I think that was God talking to me through a movie. You know, some people say, you know, that's not a Christian movie. God can't be talking in that. But even though I didn't see God, I saw what I needed to see. I saw what changed my life. And from that point on, I said, I'm not going to be a poor child my whole life. I'm going to change it. I'm going to do what I can to make it better. And I credit that. It's almost sad to say, but I credit my stepfather, who was abusive, but he worked his butt off for us. I mean, even though he beat us up later, but I mean, he worked daylight till dark. And I feel like that instilled in me, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do. And it's kind of strange, but I do that now nearly. I nearly work from daylight till dark. But that's beside the point. So anyway. Let me get back on track. Sorry. So the next few verses, Jesus starts teaching them about everything that happened, right? And he gets down, and Jesus is, you know, he's getting tired, and he's like, he just pretends, you know, he's like, guys, I'm tired, you know, I'm going to have to go home. And they're like, no, man, you're awesome. Come stay with us, man. Come on. So he does. And if you look at in verse 30, so we're catching up here to verse 30. He was at the table with them. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like anywhere else in the Bible? He broke bread and gave it to them. 31. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Now, I'm trying to think this through. Jesus is there. They're eating, you know. And we, you know, I said before that some people think that one of these guys might have been one of the 12 disciples, you know, one of the original dudes that rode with Jesus. But even if one of them wasn't, the women went to the tomb early. So they had to have something invested. You know, they were there. They knew of Jesus. They knew, you know, it's almost like they knew personally. You know, or else why would they go to the tomb? You know, and when I thought about that, I thought, I wonder how many people was there? You know, at the tomb that morning, you think there was just like 5 or 6? You think it was like they had to push through? That's just totally off the subject, but I just wondered. Because I wonder with stuff like that sometimes. But anyway. So surely, even if one of them wasn't a disciple, surely they were close enough to have heard about the Last Supper. So I'm just imagining, okay? I'm just imagining. It doesn't say this in there, okay? I'm just imagining. Imagine Jesus is sitting there with them, and I'm sure they've got their families in there. You know, it's not just the two guys and Jesus. I'm sure they're like, dude, this dude's been telling us everything. Y'all come in here. He's going to eat with us. So they get down. Jesus, you know, gets the bread. You know, he breaks it. You know, and I'm imagining maybe he says, you know, it doesn't always say exactly what happened or a whole bit or whatever. And I'm imagining maybe, just maybe, he says, take, eat. This is my body that's broken for you. You know, maybe. And maybe at that moment, it's like a flashback. You know, it's just like, I was there, I saw it. He told us that he was going to die, and he told us he was going to come back. I saw him, he was beaten, and I was there, and I saw it. Sometimes that's how we are, like I was. I saw back to my past. I saw where was God at. And it just takes a small trigger. And then they saw him, and their eyes were open. I mean, it's just like, there he was, and just
know, that's just amazing to me. I don't know. In 32, it says, they asked each other, were our hearts not burning within us as He talked with us in the road and opened up the Scriptures to us?
Now they're thinking, how did I not see it? He was right there and He was talking and we were feeling the same stuff we were feeling before. I was using the same tool that I had used before. He was right there. He was with them the whole time. But they didn't see. And we're like that. We've all had moments like that, right? When it's there, but you don't see it.
Now, I left out of the story earlier that I talked.
I went to church camp at this through this church. It wasn't this building, but it was BOC back then. And I was pretty pumped to see when I was here today that Miss Liz is here. She was my teacher, one of my teachers then. And I still have this little certificate. We used to do certificates, had a little gold seal with a tag on it, you know. And you had your name. You made it. You know, I don't remember what it said. Passed or whatever, you know, had your name. It was awesome. So I went to this camp. I went to camp through this church. And I was saved. I was baptized. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit through this church and through this camp. And as I look back on my life, and I think, all these times in my life, in my teen years, I was a partier, okay? In my teen years, I got into partying real heavy. What happened, my stepdad that I lived with, you know, moved in with his girlfriend. So left me in a 3-bedroom brick home, 5 miles from town, 1/8 of a mile off the road, okay? What am I going to do? You know, I'm a teenager, not going to church, so I invite all my friends over and we party all the time, okay? But the whole time, I knew it was wrong. You know, and it's easy to see it now. It wasn't easy to see it then. You know, I thought then, I'm not going to be cool, you know? They're coming to my house, you know? This is the guy that was poor, remember? Nobody liked. Now he has the party house. I'm the man now. So I thought, right? So, I move on from there. And, I don't know, probably after that point I had a little season of you know, righteousness, I guess, in my teen years inside of the, you know, I don't want to drink anymore. And I still hung out with all my friends, same friends, and it was a running joke. I was the guy that didn't drink. You know, I was the cool guy. Everybody liked me, I guess, because I had parties a long time ago. But it became a game. Are we gonna get Eric to drink tonight? Are we gonna get Eric to do whatever that he doesn't want to do tonight? And for a long, long time, I didn't. And at some points, my cousin got to defending me. If somebody would say, "Hey, you want to drink?" He'd get away from him. He don't drink. Leave him alone. But anyway, I stayed in that atmosphere, and eventually, you end up giving in, like I did. But I didn't realize it till I was, you know, preparing for this, that he was there. He was there every time that I thought about it. He was there when I didn't do it. He was there when I did, no matter what. He was there when I went to a small Baptist church in Pleasant Plains and got baptized on Sunday and was getting drunk on the weekends. He was still there. He didn't say, "I can't believe you're doing that, I'm out of here." He was there. He was right there. He was there when I started coming back to church. Even though I wasn't sure that I wanted to, but Mom wanted me to, so I did. He was there when I went down to the old train depot. And I don't know if any of y'all have heard this story, but it's happened. And I've told it a bunch of times, but anyway. Terry's here. Terry's boys was playing music down there, hardcore rock and roll, Christian rock. And I'm in there as a guy that's cool. You know how us cool guys are. We don't want anybody to not make us, you know, feel like we're not cool or not look cool. So I'm in here, and these dudes are rocking out, you know. And Dwayne kneels down at one point of this song, you know, and starts screaming out, you know, to God, you know, save me. And I'm talking, this room is full of teenagers. Hundreds and hundreds, probably a couple hundred. I don't want to say hundreds, but a couple hundred at least would fill that, you know, we could fill that up. And these teenagers are everywhere, and this guy is up here, center stage, on his knees, screaming out to God. At that moment, I thought, this guy can do this in front of all these kids. Why can't I do it? I'm supposed to be a man. I'm supposed to be a grown man. So I changed. You know, and I had a thing going with a bunch of car club guys and stuff like that. And I just went to them. Sometimes you have to go to them. You know that? Sometimes you have to go to them. And I went to them and I said, guys, I've been going to church. They knew I was going to church already. But I said, guys, I've been going to church. And I can't be tearing it up on the weekends with you and then over here on Wednesday trying to teach these kids. You know, I can't be an example of what God is supposed to be if I'm being however I want to be. You know what's amazing? They understood. They said, oh, that's cool, man. You know, maybe when I left, you know, I was like, well, what a loser. You know, I don't know what happened when I left, but I know that I did what I needed to do. You know, I said, you know, it's over, and they, you know, respected me for that. Oh, we done went through that one. Sorry again. Anyway, so in those moments of my life when I realized that he was there the whole time, you know, he's changed my life a lot. You know, most of y'all probably just see me as the, you know, the nice guy who plays the drums. But, you know, everybody's, you know, not everybody, but most people have had something that they've had to overcome. You know? And a lot of times you don't see that God's there. You know, a lot of you in here, probably some of you in here, God has changed your marriage. I know He changed my marriage. I didn't say anything about this a while ago, but when I was in my whole thing, I was Marilyn Manson. I don't know if you know who that is. It was one of my favorite bands. Does that scare you? It should. One of my favorite bands, Marilyn Manson and Eminem, okay? I was mean to my wife then. I didn't punch my wife or kick her or nothing like that, but I disrespected her a lot. And I didn't know that, you know, I was always that person, music, yeah, it's just music. I just listen for the guitar riffs, right? But it changes you. Those lyrics of degrading women, I'm above women, women are beneath me, you're just an object, it gets in there. Somebody needs to know that because it changes you on the inside. It really does. And I didn't believe it till I looked back and I could see it. So, some of you probably still haven't seen Him yet. And that's okay. But He's there. Some of you may not even want to see Him. Some of you may be coming here just because I'm supposed to. You're coming here because you're supposed to go to church, right? So you look proper. Or I'm going to church because I like hanging out with Jerry. That's why I'm going. I'm going there to hang with the Jerry. That's pretty good there, isn't it? Some of you know, you don't know. I don't know why you're here. But regardless of why you're here, He's here. And He's not going to quit being right beside you. He's not. Some of you don't see it because if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, I'll give you a minute to get there. If I have that wrote down right, anyway. It says, the God of this world
And it says the God with a little g.
Now we know that when you put God with a big G, it means the Most High. When it has a little g, you know, it's just talking about something else. And this one is talking about Satan.
The God of this world has blinded the eyes of unbelievers.
Now, I think about this one. And I think, unbelievers. It's so gray anymore, isn't it? You go to church? Yeah, I'm a Christian. How many times do you hear, I'm a Christian? Or you ask somebody if they're a Christian. They're a Christian. They're a Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian. And they got blankety blank blank on their computer screen, you know? It's so gray anymore, but it's not. The God of this world has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. Because if you truly believe, if you see Him everywhere, you cannot remain the same. You can't. I mean, you can fool yourself. You can lie to yourself and say, you know, that church stuff, it's okay. It's not really for me, but I'm going to act like it. I mean, you can do that all you want, and we may never know. I may never know. When I went to that church in Pleasant Plains, they thought I was a saint. They baptized me. I'm telling you, you can fool anybody you want. You can do anything that you want, and nobody in here necessarily is going to know it. But you're blinded. And that's why I ask you tonight, can you see Him? Can you see Him where you are? Can you see Him in your past? If you can't see Him where you are right now, look back. Look back of where you were and where you are now. Because He was there. And if you look back, it'll help you see Him now. It will. Because I see Him here. I see Him in this church. I see Him on Friday night. Sure do. He's thick on Friday night, people. If you're missing Friday night, He's there. Man, I don't even want to quit. But I'm pretty close to the end. I think we're getting close to time, right? All right. Well, if you would, bow your heads and we'll pray and get out of here. Father, we just thank You tonight, Lord, for Your Word. We just thank You, Father, for helping us open our eyes to realize the truth, Father God, that You're right there. That no matter what it looks like, no matter what the situation is, Father God, You are there. And we just thank You, Father God, that You're going to begin to show us Yourself in a way that we can't deny it's You, Father God. And I just thank You, Father God, for Your Son, Jesus, who died for us and made it all possible. Bless each and every person in here as they go, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.